ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ स्मरन्दस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुर्मुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोऽभीष्टां स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदाञ्जिकां नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रष्टाय भूतले श्रीमाते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्यत्य देशतारिणे नाममपवदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्यं नाम्नि गौरद्विषे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्तक्यां नमामि भक्तशक्तिं हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांत नमोस्तुते ताप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्राणमामि हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सद गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा टुडे वी आर रीडिंग श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 4 verse 18, and chapter is entitled Hiranyakashipu Terrorizes the Universe. Shaila Dronibir Akridam Shaila Dronibir Akridam Sarvartushu Gunam Drumaha Sarvartushu Gunandrumah Dadara Lokapalanam Dadhara Lokapalanam Eka Eva Prithagunam Eka Eva Prithagunam Shaiva droni birakridam Sarvartushu gunandrumaha Tadhara lokapalana Eka eva prithaguna Shaiva droni birakridam Sarvartushu gunandrumaha Dadhara lokapalana Eka eva prithaguna Next please Shagvadroni birakridam Sarvartushu gunandrumaha Tadhara lokapalanam Eka eva pritagunam Nakridam Sarvartushu gunandrumam Tadhara lokapalanam Eka eva pritagunam Shaladran Sarvartushu gunandruma Dadhara lokapalana Eka eva prithaguna The hills and mountains. Dronibir, with valleys between them. Akrida, pleasure grounds for Hiranyakashipu. Sarva, all. Ritushu, in the seasons of the year. Gunan, different qualities. Fruits and flowers. Drumaha, the plants and trees. Dadara, executed. Lokapalana, of the other demigods in charge of different departments of material activity. Ekaha, alone. Eva, indeed. Prithak, different. Gunan, qualities. Translation and purpose by His Divine Grace, A.S.T.E. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The valleys between the mountains became fields of the pleasure for Hiranyakashipu, by whose influence all the trees and plants produce fruits and flowers profusely in all seasons. The qualities of pouring water, drying and burning, which are all qualities of the three departmental heads of the universal, namely Indra, Vayu and Agni, were all directed by Hiranyakashipu alone, without assistance from the demigods. Purport. It's said in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Tejo Varim Ridam Yadhavini Mayah. This material world is conducted by fire, water, and earth, which combine and take shape. Here it's mentioned that the three modes of nature, Prithak Gunan, act under the direction of different demigods. For example, King Indra is in charge of pouring water. The demigod Vayu controls the air and dries up the water, whereas the demigod controlling fire binds everything. And Hiranyakashipu, however, by dint of his austere performance of mystic yoga, became so powerful that he alone took charge of everything without assistance from the demigods. It's an interesting verse we are discussing today. So let's analyze it. First line is Shaila Dronibir Akridam. Shaila means hills and mountains made of shilas. Shaila made of shila. Shila means stones. And Droni means valleys, the green valleys between them. Akridam. Akridam means pleasure grounds. How this Droni between these shilas become Akridam, or pleasure grounds? This is explained in the second line. Sarvatsuru gunan drumaha. Because all these drumas, all these plants and trees were so lavishly given the gunas, the different qualities, and Srila Prabhupada, for our sake, explains what this gunas means, because it's not in the Sanskrit. So Srila Prabhupada explains that the guna, or essential quality of everything, and here that's the trees and plants, that's flowers and fruits. And why is this drumaha given so lavishly the fruits and roots? Fruits. And it's explained in the two next lines, Dadhara Lokapalanam Eka Eva Prithak Gunam, because all these gunas, again guna, see, it was gunas of the drumaha, or the qualities of the trees, and now that's again Prithak Gunam, Prithak all, and gunam that's qualities, of whom? Now it's Lokapalanam, of different controllers, of this material affairs, of this material nature. So all their qualities were performed, were executed by Eka Eva, by only one person, although usually all these material affairs conducted by 33 crores of different demigods, they comprise the universal government. But in this case, in this particular verse, it explains that all of these affairs were conducted by only one person, and it was Hiranyakashipu. So it's a very unusual situation, actually. Nowhere in the history we will find this kind of affairs in the universe. Why it's so? It's very interesting. Krishna is essence of everything. We know from Bhagavad Gita, he's saying that I am essential principle in whatever we can see. So the same is true about the material elements. So Krishna is the heat in the fire, the moisture in the water, and the dryness in the air. So that's essence, that's the principal essence of all these material elements. And he is giving this in charge of different demigods to execute these functions. So the fire, it burns, that's Agni. The water, it moistures, that's who? Indra. And the air is drying up, that's Vayu. Right? The different demigods get this power from the Lord to execute these different functions for the sake of material, either creation or the maintenance or the dissolution. So it's the same gunas. See, gunas, we have them here twice. Gunas of material elements, or Srila Prabhupada translates for us, modes of material nature, and gunas of the living entities, so qualities of material nature and qualities of different living entities, and how it's connected. When all these functions of material elements, drying, burning, moisturing, maintains nicely, then all the essential elements or qualities in the living entities will bring about. So that's how it goes. How was possible for Hiranyakashipu to conduct this different function of 33 crores of different demigods? It's also very interesting. In Mahabharata, the sage Upamanyu mentioned to Krishna that Hiranyakashipu performed not one austerity. He performed actually one more penance, but this time to please Lord Shiva. So it was Brahma who gave him so-called immortality to not be killed under this or that situation. And it was Lord Shiva who was pleased by another penance of Hiranyakashipu. And therefore, he gave him, listen carefully, the powers of all the demigods, meaning 33 crores of different demigods, not one, not two, not even principal demigod, but 33 crores of different demigods, including Indra, including even the god of death, Yama, including the god of wealth, Kuvera, Agni, Vayu, Surya. He was able to execute all this function alone. Interesting. So therefore, he was able to usurp the sovereignty of Indra and execute all this function of different demigods himself. But why it was needed for him? What was the purpose of it? Because it's so straining, isn't it? If you perform someone else's different functions, so how it's straining for ourselves, how it will affect us in so many ways. And it said somehow he wanted to kill Vishnu. We remember this story, right? So he wanted to kill because Vishnu killed his brother, Hiranyaksha. Therefore, at least he had to find him, but he couldn't find. It's a mockery, actually. He was the greatest ruler of the universe, but he couldn't find one person whom he really wanted to fight with. It was Lord Vishnu. Why? Because he didn't have any access even to the abode of Lord Vishnu. And what is this abode in this universe? That's Dhruva Loka. That's abode of Chiradakashaya Vishnu, or Vishnu Loka, within the boundaries of this universe. So he didn't have any access, because this is already a spiritual reality, but Hiranyakashipu, just a normal materialistic person. So he couldn't do this. And therefore, He just exclaimed, "Who is this God? Even his abode, Dhruvaloka, is temporary." Thus he just put verdict, okay, I will not go this, it's just another temporary planet, so what's the use? Then what to speak about all his Shakti, he continued, and powers, it's just mystic. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, actually in this not verbal dialogue with Arjuna, which Acharyas explained in Gitamrita, Krishna says, "Because I exhibit a human-like form, fools think that I have acquired my qualities due to tapasya." That was exactly the way of thinking of Hiranyakashipu. Okay, this Vishnu is the supreme, but he became a supreme by the dint of his severe tapasya. Then I can be better supreme. If I perform better tapasya, more severe tapasya, then I can be even greater than Lord Vishnu, right? So, thus Hiranyakashipu, because he couldn't find Vishnu, he decided that Vishnu somehow is afraid of him, and therefore he's hiding. And Hiranyakashipu, instead of direct fighting with him, decided to fight his different manifestations in this material world, and thus indirectly to kill, still by hook or by crook, to kill Vishnu. And what is the first manifestation of the Vishnu he wanted to fight in this material world? That was Vedas. Vedanta Krit Veda Vid Eva Chaham. Yeah, I am a compiler of Vedanta and also I am an author of Vedanta. And yes, he's in the Vedas, he's a compiler of the Vedas. Then I will challenge these Vedas, I will change them. Because whatever universal order we have, all the rules for these orders are given by Lord Vishnu in the Shastras. And if I change this rule, then I will challenge Vishnu. And thus he will be killed because it's his order. Somehow he will diminish in his power. And how is that? How he was going to change the Vedas? How was he going to change the rules set by Vishnu in the Vedas? And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this in the third chapter, previous chapter. Hiranyakashipu was thinking, what was sinful? What was sinful usually? At material enjoyment will become recommended piety and sadhana and will lead to svarga. That's how he was thinking about the material enjoyment. It will be a piety and sadhana. And what was pious, what's usually pious, celibacy and austerity, will become sinful and not recommended and will lead to hell. What was good will become bad. What was bad will become good. That will be established, that my order. Thus he wanted to eliminate this Vishnu in his own set in Shastra's rules. He wanted. And he was quite successful in this. Although it's not easy to do, right? Because Dharma, that's very nature of the Lord. And because all the living entities, they're part and parcel of the Lord, this Dharma is inbuilt, inherited or inherent quality of the soul. So it's not so easy to change this perception of Dharma because it's inbuilt, it's within us, it's our quality. Especially because it's being upholded by the very powerful controllers of the universe, different demigods. So it's not easy to change Dharma. It's not easier to turn it over and make it our Dharma. But he was successful in this by the dint of his integrity. And we will come to this point, why it was possible. And what it is another manifestation of Vishnu in this material world? He is Yageshwara. He is a beneficiary of all the sacrifices. He is the one who offers, who accepts all the offerings done in Yagyas. And if I kill Yagya, I will kill him, right? Yageshwara. If I kill the Yagyas, I will kill him. So in the purport to the chapter second, and this seventh canto, Srila Prabhupada writes, so Hiranyakashipu sent his people to kill the inhabitants of earth so that Yagya would stop and that Lord Vishnu, the Yageshwara, would be killed. He sent these people there. And then the demigods will be killed naturally because they cannot bear the separation with Vishnu being his part and parcel. So the naturally disturbed, they will die when the Yageshwara will be killed by killing all these Yagyas. But what was happening with this plan? It's interesting because afterward we got to know that Hiranyakashipu was accepting all these great gifts offered in Yagyas, meaning he didn't stop this Yagyas, right? He didn't stop, although it was planned at the beginning, somehow it didn't happen. Why? Hiranyakashipu uvacha. Better, instead of stopping Yagya, I will enjoy them myself. Instead of Yageshwara, why to stop Yagya? I can enjoy myself. I can just replace Vishnu. It's easy. I will replace and I will take all the offerings given in Yagya and will enjoy myself, right? For this, I have to replace all the demigods because they are accepting whatever is offered in Yagyas on the on behalf of the Supreme Lord. And if I replace all of them by myself, naturally, I would get all the oblations offered in Yagyas, right? Then I don't need any of the demigods. And Yageshwara will be starving and somehow will die out of this starvation because I will not share with him. I will take everything myself. So thus, I will kill Vishnu. I will kill this Yageshwara by taking whatever is meant for him. I will take myself. But he couldn't even understand that the Lord Vishnu is ultimate beneficiary of all the Yagyas. It doesn't mean who accepts these Yagyas, either demigods or even demons like Hiranyakashipu, because he will, by his nature, enjoy these Yagyas anyway. Even through Hiranyakashipu, he directly will accept the offerings, because even Hiranyakashipu is meant for the pleasure of the Lord. So he didn't know this. As a result of these two boons, actually, by Brahma and Shiva, Hiranyakashipu became so mighty that once he could even shake the Mount Meru, which is the pivot of this universe, which upholds the whole Bhumandala. And he wanted to please Lord Shiva, and for this he was trying to shake even Mount Meru down to its root, and it was successful. Somehow he pleased with this Shiva, because Shiva has this fighting spirit as well, this valor. And also, there is another story, like small. Once Ravana visited Bali, who was in the custody in Patala, and Ravana wanted to free Bali from this custody. You remember, after Lord Vishnu conquered Bali, somehow he put the third his step on his head, he imprisoned Bali in Patala. So Ravana came to Patala to free Bali from this imprisonment. And Bali, okay, if you want to free me, if you want to fight with Vishnu, just lift that two dazzling thing. And he was pointing little away from this place. So there were two dazzling something. So Ravana moved to this place, but on the way, he even couldn't bear this shining bright light of these two things, and he just collapsed on the spot. And when he returned, when Bali managed to return him to his external senses, he asked, what was that? And he said, that's the earring of my grandfather Hiranyakashipu. If you were not able to even lift, even come closer to this earring, how you want to free me? How can you be so daring to free me from Vishnu, who is a slayer of Hiranyakashipu? That's just impossible, because you couldn't even lift. You couldn't even come closer to the earring. So much power was just emanating from this earring, just from earring of Hiranyakashipu, what to say about his personality. That's how powerful became Hiranyakashipu himself. And then, literally, he was able, by the dint of these two boons, he replaced all the demigods, all the 33 crores upholding Dharma. So he was able somehow to establish his upside-down so-called Dharma or Adharma as a rule of the universal affair. So how was still this? Okay, boons, that's one thing, but still, it just not clicking even in the mind. How it was possible just to change the weather, just to change or exchange or replace even all the demigods. And this explained also in Srimad Bhagavatam in 3rd canto. Listen, although Jaya and Vijaya assumed the bodies of asuras, they remained more powerful than anyone, thus proving the Supreme Personality of Godhead desire to fight. Because one, when he desires to fight, he must fight with a devotee, as no one else is powerful enough to fight with him. So that means that this unconquerable power of Hiranyakashipu, that was the power of his bhakti, of him being in internal position of Parshada, or the eternal associate of the Lord in Vaikuntha, because the bhakti is most powerful out of all the energies of the Lord. Therefore, nobody could fight with him. Nobody could conquer him. And he was able to change the universal order, but he couldn't remove the source of this order. Матак паратарам надят, кинчи дасти дананджая, маи сарвами дам пратам, сутре мани ганаева. That's a famous verse from Bhagavad Gita 7.7. There is no truth, матак паратарам надят, there is no truth superior to me. Кинчит асти дананджая, сарвам эдам этам пратам, everything rest upon me as pearls strung on its thread. In other words, I am this thread which everyone else rests upon. This is the meaning of being the supreme. Everyone else depends on him. He is only independent. So Krishna is this uniting thread which unites everyone here in this material world. So Hiranyakashipu couldn't remove this thread. He couldn't take it out. It was just impossible. Therefore, everything was restored to its normal thing, because the thread was there, and this thread, that's the Lord Vishnu himself, this is the basis of all the universal affairs. That's the matrix by which everything can be restored again. So it was restored like this. And how everything else depends on Krishna, it's also very interesting. What can a constructional engineer to do without ingredients to construct, yeah? Like earth and water and different other ingredients. But Brahma was not able even construct having all these ingredients. He got all these ingredients for this secondary creation, but he was not even able to construct because he didn't know how to do it. Therefore, he had to meditate for 1,000 celestial years to be able to get this inspiration and the direction from Krishna how to do this. So he was depending totally on Krishna in his ability to create. And not just that, actually, the Krishna's glance and desire for this material energy to act is required, is the must. Maya dakshena prakriti ksuyate sa characharam. So that this energy becomes active. Without the glance of Krishna, nothing happens. So even in this, Krishna is not replaceable. Nobody can replace Krishna in this. So everything rests on Krishna. Even Brahma, he's not light person. He's, after all, the secondary creation. He's most powerful person in this universe, because to create this universe, to maintain, to destruct it, it requires so much of power. And all these powers taken from Krishna. So then question comes, whom does Krishna's power rest on? Yes, himself. No one else is a resting place of the power of Krishna. He himself is a resting place for all his revenge. But he doesn't require anyone else to be rest upon, who depend on. This is the meaning of being a god. The god is totally independent, Svayam Prakasha. He's self-manifest. He's rest on himself. That's the meaning of being independent. All others, they dependent on him because they're resting. With all they need, they're resting on Krishna as the source of all they need. And so despite of having everything, Hiranyakashipu was not satisfied. He was disturbed, getting more and more and more and more. What's happening? At some point, you cannot bear these responsibilities. Although your desires getting fulfilled, but the fulfillment of these desires, one thing to get this desired wealth, another thing is to put not lesser energy just to maintain what you already got, right? To be able to just uphold it in your hand, to hold it in your hands. So therefore, this boon of Shiva and Brahma became at one point a curse for Hiranyakashipu, actually. And Lord Brahma predicted, he could foresee that it will not last long, this situation in which he is a ruler now, he's a great person, greatest person in this universe, but he will not last long. So that was his way, actually, to get this union of diversities, because the demons, they don't like diversities resting on Vishnu. Why? Because then everyone depends on Vishnu and not on themselves. And they like the different thing to happen the way they want. Therefore, they hate Vishnu because everyone else depends on them. Therefore, they want to take out this thread, which uniting everything, and replace this thread by themselves. And everyone else depends on me. That's my union of these diversities. Otherwise, if the thread of Vishnu is not taken out and I don't replace it with myself, then I have just to eliminate all these different diversities. And it's exactly happening for tyrannic rulers. Like in 1922, Stalin came to power in Russia. And the first thing that he did, he just consolidated all the powers in his hands by extending his functions. Exactly what Hiranyakashipu did. He executed all the functions of different demigods, extending his functions. The same Stalin did. And like almost 30 years of his power, he was just eliminating and eliminating and eliminating all opposite elements, all diverse elements. So much so that after the 30 years of his rule, his reign, like 25% of whole Russia were put into jail, 25%. And more than 40% were just killed. That's how they're dealing with diversity. That's a union of diversity, that's real union of diversity, because there are no diversities, right? Then it's union. And so somehow, they want to control in this way all the diversities. Then after all, even Hiranyakashipu had to die. Although he was almost immortal, but somehow it's unavoidable because he is mortal. And that what Brahma told him, you're mortal, my dear, I cannot do anything. I can like little bit extend the duration of your life, but not more than this. And Siddhartha Swami says that Hiranyakashipu didn't have normal lifespan for the person coming from Satya Yuga. Actually, he was ruling for 71 Divya Yugas, for one Manvantara, actually. One Manvantara means 800,000 celestial years, approximately, or 312 million of earthly years. That was the duration of reign of Hiranyakashipu. So it was quite long. But still, at the end, what? The greatest demon, who can be so powerful and daring, and even knowledgeable and so successful, so powerful, they still have to die being killed by different manifestations of Vishnu together with the plants, which crash down to the dust with it. So that's the end of all these great, great demons, rulers. So he could change everything, but he couldn't take out this threat, which is the basis of universal order. And actually, this threat is not just Bhagavan, it's not just Lord Vishnu, it's Bhakti, Bhagavan, and Bhakta. That's Trinity. That's the actual threat which everything else based on in this creation. So it proves that they're completely independent. Bhakti, Bhagavan, and Bhakta. They don't depend on anything else. They don't depend on any material circumstances, whatever they may be. Even Ugra circumstances, like ferocious features of this material nature, they don't depend. They don't come under the influence, don't come under the control of these ferocious features. So everything else depends on them, but they're independent. And still, is there any other way to get the same power as Hiranyakashipu God? Is there any other way to become so powerful? Yes. Bhakti. Yes. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam in second canto recommends Akama Sarva Kamava Moksha Kama Daradi Tivrena Bhakti again Ajeta Purusha Param. A person of a broader intelligence. Either he full of material desires, sarva kama, or being bereft of any material desire, without any material desires, akama, or desiring liberation, moksha kama, tivrena bhakti again, jeta kurma, purushakparam, must serve by all means the Supreme Personality of Godhead to fulfill his desires. And since the Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can give everything to this person who worship him. And he fulfills this desire in such a way that they will not give the seed of the desires in the heart. So even by executing or fulfilling the desires of his devotee, the Lord actually eliminates the material desires from the heart. It's interesting. Not just this. Whatever is given by the Lord as a result of devotional service, not just not entangling or not conditioning more, but elevating spiritually. This is the effect. Although the desires are material, the fulfillment of them given by Krishna as a result of the devotional service uplifting spiritually. That means they're spiritual by nature. Why? Because they are born of devotional service. Therefore, they have this nature of devotional service. They're spiritual. So they're not entangling. They're not conditioning us more. Just the opposite. Because after all, it's credo of Krishna. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, why should I give this full material prosperity? Rather, I will give him the nectar of my lotus feet. That's how he's thinking about us. So he fills his desires in such a way that we will never want this again. That's how he fulfills the desires of his devotee. And finally, all these material desires will gradually vanish. They will just go away. And more than this, but devotional service, devotee actually getting the source of this inconceivably powerful different energies of the Lord, which doesn't belong to this material world. We cannot find them in the material world. And this is spiritual energies. And the devotee easily can capture the source of these spiritual energies in his heart by devotional service, and thus he is able to do what no one else can do. And the example is Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva was able to capture the Lord in the heart. Therefore, he captured this source of inconceivably powerful spiritual energy, so much so that he got as a boon from the Lord what? Something which doesn't belong to this material world. He got Dhruvaloka in his possession. He became the ruler of Dhruvaloka. And this is a spiritual abode of Lord Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. And together with this, along with it, he got what? Immortality. Because this Vishnu Loka is imperishable abode. It's not getting destructed. The destruction doesn't take place when the dissolution of this material nature takes place. Therefore, to be able to live here, you have to be imperishable, you have to be immortal. So together with this Vishnu Loka, as his possession, he got this imperishability, which Hiranyakashipu was striving so hard, and he was not successful. He didn't become immortal, right? He didn't become immortal. Therefore, and Dhruva got it very easily, even without asking of the Lord, my Lord, give me imperishability, eternality. So it was just given him as a byproduct of his bhakti very easily. But the devotee doesn't set any position in this material world as his goal. His goal is about beyond this material world. He's in Krishna Loka. Actually, our Prayojana, this is Vraja Prema, specifically, that very special Prema which was given by Lord Chaitanya himself. That's our Prayojana. And we have our Japa, we have our Sangha, we have our spiritual qualities, we have our relationship with the devotees. That's our goal. And it's about this material world, this beyond the boundaries of this material world. And in this regard, Niranjana Maharaj liked to tell this story about one Vaishnavi from his temple in Boston. So this Vaishnavi was already old, and she got severe strokes, like several strokes, and somehow the normal brain function was disturbed and she lost her memory. She couldn't remember anything. When she was admitted in the hospital, so she was asked, what is your name? She couldn't answer. She didn't even remember her material identity, but when she was asked, where is your home? She answered, my home is Vrindavan. And when the devotees came in, she recognized them, exclaiming, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Krishna. So she could remember Hare Krishna Mahamandra. She could remember her home is Vrindavan. She could recognize the devotees, but she didn't remember her material name. So this is a real asset of the devotees, actually. It's a real spiritual wealth, which is always with us, even despite of our body being deteriorated by old age and disease. I found it's very inspiring, actually. That's our real wealth. It's our spiritual wealth. And it will always stay with us. That's the promise of Krishna. All these spiritual things, that's our bank balance. So where should be our focus then? If we ask Krishna for something material, that's so shallow. Because Krishna already prepared for us something much more than we can even imagine. And if we ask for something material, something small, then he's not able to give because we are asking something else, right? By the devotional service, because it's wish-fulfilling tree, we can get whatever we want, right? And all our desires will be eventually fulfilled, but we will get what we want, but not what we need. That's the point. That's like the son of millionaire. Although his father already willed him all his opulences, all his million dollars, but still, because son doesn't trust his father, he's asking for some coins. So this is our position. If we're asking something material from the Lord, that's exact scenario of this. So we are getting what we want, but not what we need. in reality. And this is much, much greater, actually, what Krishna prepared for us. And the vivid example of this is Prahlada Maharaj. That's another bright features of how Krishna taking care of the devotee when he is fully absorbing thoughts of Krishna. Prahlada Maharaj, that's the verse 38 in this chapter, was always absorbing thoughts of Krishna, thus being always embraced by Krishna. See the connection. If you think of Krishna, Krishna embraces you. Thus, Prahlada Maharaj always felt himself embraced by Krishna. How? He didn't know what this embrace actually meant for this small child. He didn't know how his bodily necessities, such as sitting, walking, eating, lying down, drinking, and talking, were being automatically performed. They just automatically performed by the parents, actually, by the parents of the child who is just totally dependent on his father and mother. That's how Govinda felt. When Prahlad was so absorbed in thoughts of Govinda, Govinda felt so much obliged just, you know, to fulfill all his bodily needs, even without him knowing, the Prahlada's knowing about it. So it's very inspiring. That's how we can fulfill all our desire, by the dint of our devotional service. No need to do anything else. So thank you so much for your kind attention. If you have any small comments or questions, just two more minutes left. Thank you. Nice question, actually. It was a case of material desires. So the seeds, even the seeds, mere seeds of this desire just eliminated from the heart completely. This is a speciality of devotional service. It's so powerful that it eradicates even the seeds of material desires in the heart. Therefore, they're not any more harmful for our path of bhakti. But about the spiritual desires, we will get more and more, newer and newer spiritual desires, and it's coming with Kladini Shakti. When we are in direct contact with the Lord, somehow or other, with this transcendental reality, then this Kladini Shakti, with some, comes, Srila Prabhupada pinpoint, it's from the eyes of the Lord, from the eyes of the spiritual master, this mercy comes. And mercy, it's nothing but love. And love is Kladini Shakti. So any contact with this Kladini Shakti gives you the inspiration for more and more desires, bigger and bigger. And Srila Prabhupada says it's our way to chase for rhinoceros in our bhakti. The bigger and more sensitive we are in our devotional service, the more contact we have with this Kladini Shakti, the more intense our devotional service, then greater desires to serve we will get from the Lord. Because that's a part of this Kladini Shakti, Ichka Shakti. That's a part of this Kladini. Ichka means desire. When the Lord, or pure devotee, or in Sangha, that somehow we are in contact with Kladini Shakti, then this Ichka, or desire of the Lord to have this loving relationship with the devotee, comes into the heart. And whenever it touches the heart, it brings about the same desire to reciprocate with this Ichka, with this desire to have this loving relationship with the Lord. Thus, we are getting more and more desires in bhakti to be able to reciprocate with this desire of the Lord. So, but
thank you.
Yeah. He accepted in such a way that it purifies the heart from further desires. Yes, they are coming directly from the Lord. The spiritual desire, actually, the speciality of our relationship with the Lord, they coming from the Lord directly, because that's the connection with His desire to have loving reciprocation with us, loving exchanges with us. Because, but yeah, we makes our one step, but He makes 10 steps towards us. And it's His steps, not our steps. Tiny steps. It's His Ugra steps. Uru steps. Uru Grama. It's Uru Grama. He is Uru Grama. He has big steps. If it's coming as a part of your devotional service, if you're prescribed for all these activities, if it's your natural position in devotional service, then naturally it will be purified, this desire. You will not have this particular desire to control. You will do this as obligation. There will be no more push from your side, from the side of your conditioning. Because if it's done,